Well, good afternoon, everybody. Very nice to be here today. Are we in sound, are we? I'm not very good with electronic stuff. My name's Robert Gray. I live in Kirkconnell, and I'm very pleased to come up and hopefully present the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to you today. John did something very important there. He commended themselves to God, because it's only by God's help and by God's power that I'll be able to present the Lord Jesus Christ to you today, tonight. I would like to do a very important thing as well. I would like to read to you from God's Word. This book I have here is the Bible. And what we tell the boys and girls every time we see them, that this is God's unerring Word of God. The Bible, Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word of God will never, ever pass away. Hebrew writer says that the Word of God is living. The Word of God is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And the Word of God can pierce in and knows our thoughts and knows the intents of our heart today. So normally whenever I come up to New Cumnock, we usually finish about 8:45. But Stuart has assured me that we need to be done long before 8:45. So the Gillespie boys have promised to sit up good, and I'll be done as soon as I can. We're going to read first of all in John chapter 3, if you've got a Bible. And if you don't, it's not a problem. We'll just read John chapter 3. And we'll start at verse 16, please. What we'll do is, we'll read what we want to read. And then I'll tell you what's on my mind. Okay, John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not a Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The love of God in sending his Son. Flick over to John chapter 10, please. John chapter 10, verse 9. These are the words of the Lord Jesus again. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. Jesus is the speaker, and he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. Our third and final reading is in Luke chapter 15, please. Luke chapter 15. Chapter 15 and verse 1. Then drew near unto him, that's the Lord Jesus again, these are the words of Jesus that we're going to hear. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the scribes and Pharisees murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And Jesus spake this parable unto them, saying, which man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep that was lost. I'm just going to interject there. I've got a wee quiz for the boys tonight. I would like you to listen and count how many times we get rejoice and joy and Mary and gladness in this chapter, right? So I'll just go back two verses just to pick up. And when he has found it, he, there's the sheep, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she has found it, she calleth her neighbors, her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he, that's the father, divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thine hired servants. But he arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring in his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And the servant said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and sound. And he, that's the older son, was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and entreated him. And he said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he, that's the father, said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is now found. We know that God will bless the reading of his precious word. I've been really enjoying this chapter for a long time. I would like to put it under two headings, and I would like to teach the boys a new word tonight, if that's okay. The headings are very simple. I would like to look at the Father's house. I would like to look at what God the Father has done for the prodigal son, how he's welcomed him back and given him a ring, a robe and shoes on his feet. And I would like also to look at the Father's heart, how the Father in the story, which is a picture of God, how he loves us and how he longs to see those who are not yet saved come and trust in his Son. So I'd like to look at the Father's house, and I would like to look at the Father's heart, and we'll see what we can learn from this today. You know, this is what the little word I have for the boys today. It's an old-fashioned word, and it's a word, repenteth. R-E-P-E-N-T-E-T-H. Now, maybe some of the younger boys will not know what this means, but when the Lord Jesus Christ was here, he spoke to boys and girls and men and women, and they all flocked round to hear him, and they could all understand what he was saying. So I'm going to teach you what the word repents means. I'm going to tell you what it means, and then we're going to look at this story that we've just read with the prodigal son, and we're going to see whether this is important for us today. Maybe there's some boys and girls, maybe older friends in the meeting tonight, and maybe this word doesn't mean anything to you. maybe the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't mean anything to you tonight, but you know, maybe before the meeting closes, maybe the Lord Jesus Christ that we want to present to you today would not only be our Savior, not only you're discovering to be the Savior, but maybe boys and girls and older friends tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ could be your Savior. This is why this meeting's held. This is why I come up tonight, because I believe in the living Word of God going into your heart could awaken you to see your need, that you would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and have everlasting life and have the peace of God in your heart. We read in this chapter here the amount of times of joy. There is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Repentance, that's an old-fashioned word. It's not used very often, but you know, boys and girls and older friends, when John the Baptist went to preach the gospel, the first words he said was, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only Son, the first words he said was, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And I'll never be a preacher, full stop. I told Stuart, I hope he wasn't expecting Billy Graham, he's maybe coming next week, but I'll never be a preacher, but Peter, whenever he went to preach the gospel, the first sermon he had was repent. And Paul, the greatest preacher that wrote half the New Testament, the first time he preached repentance. What is repentance? And maybe, hopefully, in this next 5 minutes, we'll find out what repentance really means and how it applies to us. You know, it's a very biblical term, repentance. And what it means to have a complete mindset. It means that you are in full agreement of what God says about you and your sin. And you agree with that. And you turn your back on it. But you know, this word repenteth, the ETH on it, means that not only do you turn around because somebody's told you, you turn around because you understand. You believe in your heart. Repenteth, I would like to ask you, don't put your hand up or shout out. You probably don't do that here anyway. Don't do it in Kirkconnell either. I'm not asking you to shout right or anything, but I just wonder, if I look in boys and girls and men and women, can I say that I heard all your names been mentioned at 6 o'clock tonight, and I don't know you. But there was names of boys and girls and friends in the meeting tonight, and your names were mentioned at 6 o'clock. There was people here were praying that men and women in this hall tonight would hear the Word of God and repent of their sins, turn their back on their sins, and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn their back on their sins. Repentance towards God. And faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So repentance means to have a completely change of direction. A change of heart. And not only that, you're changing because you understand why you need to change. There is joy, the Bible says, in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. I tell you, I'll no sleep tonight if I go out this door and somebody says, I repented tonight. I believed in Jesus Christ. This is why the meetings are held, that boys and girls and men and women would realize before God they're not right, would realize that if they died in their sins, they're not right and they're heading to hell. This is why Jesus died. We read for the Father's heart, for God so loved. My friends, today, people think if you die, it's nothing. People think of, oh well, we'll just go and do this tomorrow, we'll go and do that tomorrow. The Bible says, what is your life? It's just like a little vapor. Whenever you're boiling a kettle there, you see it on the wall or the window or the tiles. It's here for a little while and it disappears. My friend, tonight, if you died tonight and you went to meet God, are you ready? Have you caused any joy in heaven by the fact that you have repented of your sins? Have you ever believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and come and trust in Him and had your sins forgiven? You know, what a meeting this would be. This meeting would go down in history. This meeting would go down in heaven if there was a boy, a girl, or a young, maybe an older friend. I don't know you, and I don't know anything about you, so I can speak freely here, maybe just as well. I don't know anything about you, but maybe tonight, there would be joy in heaven because you would realize that before God, you need to have your sins forgiven. Now, I'm sure the boys and girls all know the story. Boys, I'm sure you all know the story of the prodigal son. How he wanted to gather all his goods up and he wanted to go away into the far country and have a great old time. And you know, there's maybe boys and girls and older friends in the meeting tonight. And maybe that's what you want to do. Maybe you just want to, oh, I'm here tonight because my dad made me come, or so-and-so said, you better come tonight or I'll bring your door tomorrow to see why you didn't come. Listen, we're really glad to see you, but maybe you're sitting there, oh, this is boring, the Bible's boring, Jesus, I'm tired listening about Jesus. But you know what? The prodigal son, he was in a place of blessing. And you know what he did? He turned his back on his father, and he went into the far country. You know what? The Bible says he couldn't wait till his father died till he got all his goods. Now, it used to be in olden times, what the father did was the older son, he got a double share, and then what was left, the rest of the children got. I don't know how Stuart would cope with five boys, but there you go. The younger son set off, and he thought, I'm going to have a great time. I'm going to get away over there. I'm going to go into the far country, and I'm going to have a great old time. And you know what? The Bible says he spent all that he had. The Bible says he ended up with nothing. He might have had a good time. And yes, when Moses chose to suffer with the people of God, the Bible says there are pleasures in this world. But you know, they're short-lived. You know, I used to work in an office, and the girls every Monday morning you come in, all they did was talk about what they did on Friday night, what they did on Saturday night, and what they did on Sunday night. We had a great old time, and all they did was drunk themselves silly from Friday night right through to Monday morning. And all they lived for was next Friday night again. There's absolutely no satisfaction. This boy without, away from his parents, his dad, away from his father, into the far country, and he spent all that he had. And you know what the Bible says? There was a famine, and he ended up with absolutely nothing. And you know, boys and girls and older friends, that's what the world does today. The world takes you and wrings you dry and leaves you useless, feeling useless and feeling empty, and leaves nothing in your pocket and puts a bad taste in your mouth. And that's why people go and have to go again and go again. This prodigal son, what does repentance mean? We're going to learn that repentance is just like what the prodigal son did. He realized, where are we on? And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I will perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and say I have sinned against heaven. Did you know that when you sin, boys and girls, it's not just against your mum and dad you sin. You actually sin against God. That's what this prodigal son had learned, that he had sinned against heaven and against his father. And every sin that you and I do is all written down in a great big book. And if you and I, if you die and you're not saved, one day God will open that book and he will hold you accountable for all you've done. That's why we come today and tell you that if you repent of your sins, if you turn your back on your sins, you can have those sins all forgiven and you can have peace with God. But what about this father's house? I thought about the father's house. Where are we at? I thought the father's house in three things. Number one, there was plenty in the father's house. There was plenty of bread in the father's house. Number two, I want to look at the pleasure in the father's house, the joy and the happiness there. And we want to look at the promises for all those who come to the father's house. You probably wonder why I read John chapter 10. Jesus said, I am the door. I want to look at this father's house as a type of blessing, a type of salvation that this prodigal son turned and entered into. So we're happy enough with that. The father's house is a type of salvation and we can enter in if we believe. The father's house, there was plenty there. There was bread enough to spare and there was room in the father's house. There was plenty of room for the prodigal son. I'm wondering if there's maybe a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter in the hall tonight. Yes, there's room still for you. You can have your sins forgiven. God is interested in you today that you can know the joy of sins forgiven. You know, there's plenty of room in the Father's house, and not only that, it's only good things when you come and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people think whenever my wife's got a cousin that got saved, and his big worry was, oh, if I get saved, life's pretty dull, life's pretty boring. I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I can't do the other thing. I talked to David a couple of weeks ago, and what he said to me was, I have no interest in doing those things that I've turned my back on. He says, I'm really enjoying my salvation now. I've come into new things. And this is what the prodigal son has come into. You know, he got a ring on his finger. Now, I've got a ring on my finger. Obviously, that's a wedding ring. But apparently, in the Middle East, when you got a ring on your finger, that was a sign that you were a son. So when the prodigal son came back and he confessed his sins and he was received, the father put a ring on. He says, you're not a servant. You're my son. And the Bible says, to as many as believed in Jesus Christ, he gives them the power and the authority to be called the sons of God. Are you a son of God today? Are you a child of God today? Have you ever come and have you got the ring of salvation on your hand? You know, the prodigal son got shoes as well. He got shoes. He was able to walk in the father's house. And you know, he got a new direction. He wasn't walking in his old ways. He had new shoes, the best shoes. And he was going to do it a completely different job now. He was going to tell everybody what salvation was like in the father's house. And I was thinking as well, you know, the story of the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost son is all one big story. And you know, when that lost sheep was found, the sheep didn't need to worry, how am I going to cope from here on in? Because what the shepherd did in the first part of the story was he put the sheep on his shoulders and he brought it home. And you know, that's why Christians should have a joy about them. Sometimes we don't. And my wife says, I look as though I'm going to get shot every time I'm up on the platform. Well, we have got a joy in our heart. We have got a real joy, an eternal joy in our heart through what Jesus Christ has done. So we have got joy in our heart. And we know that we have got a friend that sticketh closer than a brawler. You know, when things go wrong, and the things do go wrong for Christians as well as non-Christians, but we have got somebody that we can look to. We have got a Savior who has promised to be closer than a brawler. And I tell you, friends, what a great blessing that is in this life. So that was plenty in the father's house. I don't know how many rejoicings the boys got whenever they were listening, and hopefully they were. Well, I was just thinking of the pleasure in the father's house. There is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. You know, what about you if you turn from your sins tonight? What about you if you believe that you needed to be forgiven tonight? What about you if you realize that you need to get right with God tonight? Do you think if you repented of your sins, you'd be sad? I tell you, you would be the happiest person in New Cumberland tonight if you turned and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, there was joy and there was gladness and there was happiness, and you know that happiness is going to go on forever. Yes, Christians do have up and down days, but you know we've got a joy in our heart that the world knows nothing about. And it's all because our sins are forgiven. It's all because we've got peace with God in our heart. And the Bible says that peace, it passes all understanding. We can't understand it. But not only do we have the peace now, but you see when it comes to death and eternity, we have that peace goes on and on and on. This is what God gives. God doesn't just give bits and bobs. God gives plenty. And he gives peace. A peace that you need. A peace that you need in your heart. But you know, my friends, all these blessings that the prodigal son got, he had to enter into them. So I just call that the promises. You know, it's okay knowing that the father's house had plenty of bread. It's okay knowing that he could be forgiven, but he had to enter in. And that's why we read in John chapter 10, verse 9, because Jesus said, I am the door. There's only one door. There's only one way of blessing, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only way. He could say himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. So do we understand? There's only one door. There's only one way that we can get right with God, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we always talk about the story of the prodigal son, don't we? But the Bible says there is two sons. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ told these three wee stories in one. Because there was people that sat, the people crowded round to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. And who were these people? These were publicans and sinners. Publicans and sinners. People who knew they were sinful. People who didn't argue that they were sinful, But people who wanted to get right with God, people who wanted to hear what this Jesus Christ had to say, they all crowded round, just like that prodigal son. And a lot of them repented of their sins. But you know, there was the other prodigal son was like the scribes and the Pharisees. And they looked at those people there. And you know, sometimes I'm maybe guilty of that as well. I would look and say, oh, nice pair of shoes, John. You know, but we look at folk and we judge folk. Yes, sometimes we do have to make judgment. But God knows the thoughts and the intents of every heart. And that prodigal son, that older brother, do you know what? He was still outside the door as well. That older son was outside the door away from the father. And the father came out with all his love. And he says, son, won't you come in? And he refused to come in. That man thought he didn't need to come in. And maybe I'm talking to some folk in the meeting tonight. And maybe you think you're better than whoever it is that's sitting beside you. Maybe you think you're better than your neighbors. My friends, today, if you think that in relation to salvation, you'll never get saved. It's only sinners that repent of their sins can get saved. So that was the father's house and the father's heart in his last 5 minutes. Just across the three stories, I thought of the longing of the father. As he looked out, you can just picture him there. He looked out every day for that son to come back. And you know, I just wonder how many years God has been looking out for you to come back, for you to repent of your sins, for you to believe in His Son. How old are you tonight? God is longing for you to come back to Him. God is longing for you to turn from your sins and believe in Him tonight. I thought of not only the longing of the Father, the longing of the Father's heart, I thought of the looking. And the second part of the story was the coins, wasn't it? And they're going to search diligently until he finds it. Can I tell you, my friends, tonight, that there is a Savior who's looking for you tonight. The Bible says the Son of Man has come. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to save me. And he came to save you. I was thinking of the loving of the Father's heart. You know, that son came back from the far country. He came back penniless. He maybe came back with very little clothes on, probably rags, probably cuts in his feet. And I had an uncle who had a few pigs years ago, and I was never really that keen on them. But I was out to see them, out to Uncle Willie to feed the pigs over at my grandfather's. Come back in, and you smelled your clothes, you were stinking pigs. They're stinking creatures. That's why the Jews were not allowed to eat them. I do like bacon, but apart from that, you can have the meat. But, you know, pigs are stinking animals. And, you know, the smell sticks to you. And that's just what sin does. But you see, whenever this prodigal son, he repented of his sins. And he turned and came back to the father. And he was probably on his knees. And he said, I have sinned. Where was the father? The father was on his neck. The father could smell the stink of those pigs. The father could see the rags. The father could see the bruises. And the father kissed him. The father kissed the son. I'm telling you what love that father had. You know, I thought, and this is my final little point, I thought of the long suffering of that father's heart. You know, this little story, it says he'll search till he finds it. You know, my friends, today, there is a Savior who longs to save. There's a Savior who could save every boy and every girl in the meeting, whether they laugh or not. You could be saved in the meeting tonight. You could have your sins forgiven. There's a Savior who loves, and a Savior who's died on Calvary's cross, that you could be forgiven. I have only one wee rule when I'm speaking the gospel, and it's not too often on the platform, as you can tell. It's when I'm done, I shut up and I sit down. So I'd just like to, I'm not going to give an invitation because we don't believe in that. But I'm just wondering if there's any boys and girls and older friends in the meeting tonight who would look away to Jesus tonight. You know, these people who needed the Savior, these were sinners. And the people knew they were sinners. And they all came to the Savior to hear what he would have to say. My friends, today the Savior says, come. He says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. The Savior has died on Calvary's cross. The Savior has paid the price for sin. My friends, the sufferings of Jesus Christ on the cross were terrible. Well, we have a doctor in the house here. Every wound and every bruise known to man was put on Jesus Christ. And they laid him out to outside Jerusalem's walls, and they nailed him on the cross. And there was darkness on the land. There was darkness on the land as Jesus Christ suffered for sin. But he didn't suffer at the hands of men for sin. He suffered at the hands of God for sin. All my sins were laid on Jesus that day on the cross. Jesus Christ suffered, the just one, for me the unjust, that he might bring me to God. The Lord Jesus Christ suffered on Calvary's cross. He bore my sins on his own body on the cross. And just like that prodigal son when I was 13 years old, I trusted in Jesus. I believed that Jesus Christ took Robert Gray's sins on the cross. And if he bore my sins, I could go free. Because God, yes, God is holy and God is just, but God demands one payment. And I looked away to Calvary and I saw that one payment had been made for Robert Gray's sins. And I trusted in him. And I'm forgiven. And when God looks on me, he looks on me through his son. And I've been forgiven. I've repented of my sins. And before the meeting closes, I would like to ask you all to think seriously about the gospel. To think about the Lord Jesus Christ and how he has suffered on the cross. We spoke in open air earlier on today up in Kirkconnell. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, my friends, if God so loved you, and God so loved me that he would send his son to Calvary's cross, he must have wanted to save us from something terrible. He wanted to save us from the judgment of a holy God against sin. Because, my friends, if we do not repent of our sins, maybe even tonight, if we do not repent of our sins, maybe even tonight, it could be too late. And when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, tomorrow he could be our judge. These are serious matters. I don't come up to tell stories. I don't come up to tell jokes or have a laugh. These are serious matters. I'll stand before God one day and I'll give account of how I presented Jesus Christ to boys and girls in New Cumberland. Let's just close our eyes and pray. Father in heaven, we just give thanks for thy lovely son. How can we ever tell him out, Father, that this one, the holy Son of God, that one who was with thee when the worlds were made, that he would go to Calvary's cross and pay that price for sin, that we would not perish but have everlasting life. We think, Father, of this father in the story and how admires thee, O God, and all thy bountiful provision, that men and women do not need to die in their sins, that men and women do not need to perish, and boys and girls as well, but they can repent of their sins, just like the prodigal son. They can come to themselves and turn their back on their wicked ways and come before thee, O God, and confess their sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they can have everlasting life. They can have their sins forgiven. So we pray for this, Father, that thou wilt attend to thy word with a blessing and glorify thy son. We think of all these wonderful stories told about the Lord Jesus Christ and how they would laugh on him and say, this man receiveth sinners. And we rejoice in 2010 that this man, Jesus Christ, is still receiving sinners, and he can receive sinners tonight. So we pray for boys and girls and older friends in the meeting tonight that they would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and have their sins forgiven. In Jesus' name we pray, give him thanks. Amen.